Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we'll find in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man, a man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, there's several wonderful things in this passage, good examples, wonderful providences, and so on. In the first section, verses 1 through 3, we see the humility and servant's heart of Ruth. She is in her mother-in-law's house, her mother-in-law, an older lady. We're not told exactly how old, older woman. I would imagine, and this is perhaps Pastor Riddell's conjecture, and so I'll identify it as that, that Naomi could have gone out and gleaned, that she was of enough health to go do that. She was not decrepit in that sense. And yet, notice that Ruth volunteers to go forth. We're going to see in the next chapter that Naomi presses something to Ruth. Here, however, Ruth volunteers and presses something to her mother-in-law. She says, Let me go and glean among the fields. And so Naomi says to her, Okay, go. We introduce this man Boaz as a near kinsman actually in verse 1. And so that verse stands at the head of the chapter means that it is significant to the rest of the chapter. And the writer here, the prophet, wants us to know that Boaz is going to play a very large part in the narrative to come. And so he's introduced at the beginning. So we have this voluntary condescension of Ruth to go out and to do the part of a beggar, right? That's essentially what that is. The part of someone who has no means at all and so must go and glean in the fields. I like what Matthew Henry says here. She does not complain to her mother-in-law saying she does not tell her that she wasn't brought up to live upon crumbs. Instead, she volunteers to go out and to be of service to her and to her mother-in-law. And so the use here is what? Humility goes a long way. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All right, so the next, notice the refusal of Naomi to appeal to Boaz for support, wanting not to be a burden to him. Now, it may have been that she could have appealed to him, but she's been away for so long. She comes back, and so it would have been, although perhaps a duty of Boaz, it would have been very forward to her, forward of her, very bold of her to come forth in such a manner, and so she refrains. Ruth supplies by volunteering to go and play the part of a beggar. And note also that the Lord was with his servants Naomi and Ruth, for as the authorized version states, her hap was to go to the field of Boaz. Well, we know that with God there's no such thing as hap. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as rolling the dice and see where it comes out. It was God's providence that led her to the field of Boaz, Ruth not knowing where she was going when she went out. And so, again, let's make a use here. Never fear the most menial or humbling of tasks, because the Lord is able to bless by much or by little. The Lord can bless and most often does through a lower estate. And remember what Jesus said. Don't take that high estate and someone tells you, hey, know your place. Instead, take the lower place and wait for the exaltation of the Lord. And does that not play out over the rest of the book? Right? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord then. Trust in his providence and commit yourself to seeing it through. All right, so the next section, verses 14 through 16, we have the the section, actually through 17, I think. 16 or 17, doesn't matter. We have the circumstance of the gleaning and her interaction with Boaz, the young man, and the maidens, Ruth's interaction with them. So first of all, we have the good report of Boaz as a master. What does he present himself as in this passage? Well, he's presented as a man who is concerned for his servants. The harvest is going on. Not only is he concerned about the amount of harvest, and you know he wants to keep track of his harvest, but he goes and he has a great concern for those who work for him. This is a wonderful attitude that all those who are in a superior position ought to have toward those who are in that inferior position. Those who are in charge at work, those who have responsibility over others, and so on. It is indeed a pleasure to see a man like Boaz who comes out with a genuine concern for those who work with him. And so he says, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." All right, notice also that Boaz knows what's going on in his fields. The first thing he says is, what? Who's this young lady? Haven't seen her here before. Now, I don't know how many people were out there in the fields, how many damsels, how many young ladies that Boaz had out there gleaning, or how many young men he had out doing the harvesting. But I do know that he was able to identify one that wasn't there before. And so this speaks to his knowledge of what's going on in his fields. Right? He knows what's going on in his business. So he is a man very concerned with what's going on. He shows himself to be a good man of business, a good man knowing all of those things over which he's in charge. So he says, "Whose damsel is this?" Of course, we see that he is kind to the poor. He desires to keep the law of God as it contains to the poor and the gleaning in his fields. And so it seems that he has many, many gleaning in his fields. All right, so then notice he is a man that believes a good report when he hears it. Now that's a good thing. Let's tune our ears to that for a moment. We hear good things about others and we think, oh yeah, but I know what's really going on. Oh, well, they were just being nice. Well, you know, that's what people say when they're polite. And we have all these excuses that we bring up so that we don't have to believe a good report. Boaz believes the good report that he's heard about Ruth. He believes it. As a matter of fact, he believes it to the point that he acts on it in his attitude toward and permissions given unto Ruth. Right? So he believes the good report. He's not suspicious of her. He does, you know, oh, you're just here to get the grain. He develops and further cultivates a kind and fatherly attitude toward this stranger, this Moabitess. He does not cast her out because of her origins, and he gives her a safe place in which to glean. He speaks the first words of encouragement to her recorded in this narrative. So then Naomi has been discouraged and discouraging to her, not in a malicious way, but she herself, Naomi, has had great heaviness of heart, right? What do you get when you get home? Mara, right? Well, Boaz speaks very encouragingly to her. All right, so the words that he spoke to her were both fitly spoken and of great comfort to her. "I have heard of your commendable behavior toward your mother-in-law. I have heard of the renouncing of your former life in Moab, of your father's house and family. I have heard of your attachment of yourself to the people of Israel. And then I have heard that you have come to take refuge under the shadow of Yahweh." What great encouragement then he offers. Here was a woman destitute, perhaps wondering about the benefits of serving the Lord, since all she saw was trouble and want. Perhaps wondering if her labor was in vain, wondering if what she was doing really mattered. But the narrative tells us that Boaz spoke to her heart. He spoke to her heart. That's what it means when it says that he... The phrase, he spoke friendly to her. She responds by saying, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. for as thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto me. Literally, Boaz spoke to her heart. So we see the kindness of Boaz, and we see the humility of Ruth as she bows in his presence, calls him her lord, her master, boss, sir, if you will, speaks respectfully to him, and also recognizing herself in her abased condition that she was a stranger. So there's a lot of wonderful points in this passage which we might use for examples to ourselves. All right, so then Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. Popcorn. Right? Not just, here's a piece of bread, but here's some of the delicacy that we're enjoying tonight here around the fire. Parched corn. Roasted corn, in other words. It really wasn't popcorn because it hadn't had a chance to dry. But it was parched corn. In other words, some of the delicacies that they were enjoying around the fire. Ruth is invited to enjoy those delicacies also. And then the instructions that he gives. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, out of her earshot, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Not just on the edges of the field, but after we're tying up the sheaves, if there's something on the ground there, let her have that. In fact, let her take some of the handfuls of purpose. What are handfuls of purpose? Yeah, I know there's a book of that title. No, it's that which has already been purposed, that which has already been bound up. Let her take a few handfuls out of the sheaves as well and bring them home, in other words. Handfuls of grain that has already been designated, purposed. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that which she had, and it was about an ephah of barley, about a bushel. That's a lot. Notice it was barley. Okay, but now the reason we're talking about barley here is not because it was such an ill time that they're eating barley, but they are coming out of a time of famine, and so they are harvesting both the barley and the wheat. And I hope you heard that a little bit later in the narrative, that both are being harvested, that she stayed gleaning all the way through the wheat harvest as well by the invitation of Boaz. All right, so she goes home. And she takes notice what she does. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. In other words, she fed her mother-in-law first when she got home. She made sure that Naomi was fed before she ate. Again, continuing that attitude of humility. All right, so now Naomi starts asking, well, where did you glean today? What happened? And she says, well, I happened on this man's field. His name was Boaz. And wow, was he very kind to me or what? And that's when Naomi blesses the Lord. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi recognizes that the favor of Boaz is indeed out of his great kindness, but it is also Boaz's recognition of the duty that he had toward the family. Now, we don't know this yet. We won't know it until the next chapter. But let's also remember that this duty was truly not Boaz's duty. That Boaz is playing the part of a kinsman redeemer, although there is a redeemer nearer than him. And so this only magnifies the kindness of Boaz here and makes him out to be the choice man that he is, generous and kind and caring for a family, although it is not particularly his duty to do so. All right, so then Ruth goes on to describe all of the invitation and kindness and magnanimity of Boaz toward her, and Naomi says, here's what you do. You do exactly what he said. You stay with him. You stay in those fields. You follow after his damsels, and you glean what his young men leave behind. You stay with him. And so she, as it were, puts her in the way of blessing that Boaz has provided. All right, so when we get to the next chapter, then we'll begin to talk about that other kinsman and what goes on there. Thus ends